This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And it is time now for the Noon Ag Show, brought to you by Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value. Wayne Schaefer, your country insurance agent in Jerseyville. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs. And McAdams Millwright Service. And now, with the Noon Ag Show, here's Gabe Osborne.
Thanks, Levi. Now here in Ag News on a Friday afternoon. Farm issues are multiplying of late, from competition in livestock to ethanol waivers to taxes. And one ag senator is on top of them all. Iowa's Chuck Grassley says his independent cattle producers are becoming residual suppliers as four major packers buy most of their animals under contract. Grassley is trying to end that.
I'm worried about our independent producers, and this bill that I'm talking about was introduced with Senator Tester of Montana, so it's a bipartisan bill, mandates 50% of the cattle sales be negotiated on a cash trade basis.
But Grassley must still convince Ag Chair Debbie Stabenow to hold a hearing on the bill. Meantime, competition between the corn, ethanol, and oil industry continues in court.
The 10th Circuit Court decision, hopefully not overturned by the Supreme Court review now, is the most certainty we've ever had. And we got it from the courts, certainty that sometimes you got from three presidents and sometimes not getting certainty.
A decision could come as early as next month in June, while Grassley says one by Congress on the president's replacing the stepped-up basis with a new capital gains tax at death is unlikely anytime soon.
This would be disastrous to passing on the family farm. It'd be the first change in this legislation that I know of that's been law since 1922. The only way this could be accomplished would be if all 50 Democrats stayed together. So I can't visualize that they're going to get 50 Democrat senators saying you're doing away with stepped-up basis.
USDA insists nearly all family farms would be exempt from the capital gains at death, provided those family farms stay within the family, but Grassley and others still see the move as a disincentive to passing the farm on to younger generations. The Department of Agriculture Thursday announced that an African swine fever virus vaccine candidate has been adapted to grow in a cell line. The announcement means those involved in vaccine production will no longer have to rely on live pigs and fresh cells for vaccine production. The discovery overcomes one of the major challenges for manufacturing of an African swine fever virus vaccine. The newly developed vaccine, grown in a continuous cell line, which means immortalized cells that divide continuously or otherwise indefinitely, has the same characteristics as the original vaccine produced with fresh swine cells. USDA Ag Research Service scientist Manuel Broca says this opens the door for large-scale vaccine production. No commercial vaccines are currently available to prevent the virus from spreading. There have not been any outbreaks in the United States, but it is estimated that a national outbreak could cost at least $14 billion over 2 years, and $50 billion to the swine industry over 10 years. In other ag news on the livestock side of things, U.S. red meat exports ended the first quarter on a high note. The U.S. Meat Export Federation reports March beef and pork exports each posted the highest monthly value on record. Pork exports and shipments for beef muscle cuts also set new volume records in March. Beef exports totaled 124,800 metric ton in March, up 8% from 2020. Export value broke the $800 million mark for the first time at $801.9 million, up 14% from a year ago. March highlights for U.S. beef included record exports to China, Honduras, and the Philippines, and strong results in South Korea, Chile, and Colombia. March pork exports were record large at 294,700 metric ton, up 1% from last year's strong total, and set a new record value at $794.9 million, up 4%. U.S. Meat Export Federation President and Chief Executive Dan Hallstrom says, quote, "It's very gratifying to see such an outstanding breakout month for U.S. beef and pork." Moving on to Illinois State Ag News on a Friday, prices of nitrogen, phosphate, and potash fertilizer have increased dramatically since last fall and track the price of corn. In its September 10, 2020 report entitled Illinois Products Costs, USDA's Ag Marketing Service reported the average ammonia price in Illinois at $432 a ton. That was the lowest level since the fall of 2017. And University of Illinois Extension's Gary Schnittke says the 2017 and 2020 fall prices were the lowest in the last 10 years for anhydrous ammonia. Since September, however, the agricultural economist says the price of anhydrous has increased by $259 a ton, or about 60%. He says that will make a big difference in end-of-the-year profits.
When you price fertilizer is going to make a big difference as to what the total cost is. So if we cost fertilizer on September 10, 2020, we would have had $93 cost for corn. Now we're up to $140 cost using prices in April 8th, so $47 increase.
When Schnittke looks at the historical pricing charts for anhydrous ammonia, he says it's amazing how well correlated they are to the price of corn.
They do track each other really closely. And that is one of the things that we see in all of these input costs, but nitrogen and corn costs are 0.78 correlation, which is really high. We would be anticipating all costs to increase for coming into fall for 2022, including cash rent. So this period of higher prices, particularly if it persists into the fall, corn and soybean prices likely will prompt cost and cash rent increases.
Again, that was Gary Schnittke, University of Illinois Extension Ag Economist. In other ports out of the U of I Extension, you might have made a note that the Iowa Weekly Crop Progress State Report had 58% of the subsoil in the state land in the very short or short category back on Monday. Those kinds of dry conditions, coupled with the very fast planting pace of corn and beans over the past few weeks, can have an impact on emergence, according to U of I Extension agronomist Emerson Nafsinger.
Soybean, yeah, I suspect it's going to be taking its time. When I did that calculation showing that the shell of soil from which they can draw moisture around them doesn't need to be much thicker for soybeans than for corn, but corn is probably a little bit better at pulling water in. And, it doesn't take very much for the soil not to be in contact with the seed everywhere around the seed. And soybean seed, it struggles a little bit, you know, just as a seed. So if you put corn and soybean side by side under conditions like this, I would imagine that soybeans would be considerably more likely to show emergence issues.
Nafsinger made his comments during last Friday's University of Illinois Field Crops Update. He was commenting on what emergence might look like in the state of Iowa and where conditions remain very dry and planting pace has been quick. USDA's first national soybean emergence tally will be released coming up on this Monday. Extension entomologist Nick Sider in the weekly update said that there were field crop insect worries, but that farmers should be watchful the most for the bean leaf beetles in soybeans.
Another thing to keep an eye out for, overwintered bean leaf beetles will be emerging through here, and often those do get kind of drawn to the first soybean fields that are up. Usually more cosmetic than anything else, unless they're carrying bean pod mottle virus, but it tends to be another one of those issues that look quite a bit worse than it is.
And on the subject of entomology, Casey Athey has been tracking specialty crop development across Illinois. She says it's not the insect problems that have growers worried in that department, but there are some issues.
The only thing is that for my crops anyway, watch out for thrips in strawberries currently. Strawberries are probably one of the few things that's kind of already in the ground. I know that the frost may have had some effect on some of the people who already had strawberries out in open fields. And then as far as some of my other crops, the frost seem to have, the peaches seem to have largely come out of the couple of frosts we've had pretty well. There may be a little bit of damage to the apple crop potentially from the frost, but that remains to be seen. And other than that, most of the crops in the specialty crops are not in the ground yet. So the ones that are generally in high tunnels or greenhouses right now. And so the farmer's market season is starting this weekend, I believe, in most places as well. So we'll see, you know, a lot more things here as obviously the summer goes on in my cropping systems.
The Illinois Extension Commercial Ag Team meets each Friday during the growing season to assess crop conditions and issues across the state, and they'll have another meeting today. In other state ag news, this time on the Department of Natural Resources side of things, they'll be hiring 25 new conservation officers. IDNR Deputy Director Rachel Torbert indicates anyone interested in applying to become a conservation officer has until the end of the month to do so.
We're looking to hire some new conservation police officers. So really we're looking for anybody who is, you know, has a love of outdoors, conservation, natural resources, and they're ready to combine that with public safety and law enforcement. And that's the perfect combination is that equals our conservation police officers. So that's what we're looking for. You know, we're looking for the same people to serve as public servants who, you know, represent Illinois' outdoor enthusiasts, you know, diverse, dedicated, you know, ready to protect the outdoors. And, you know, we're taking applications now through May 31st, and you can find all that information on our website about how to do that. Go to CMS, and you can find the criteria and everything, but then you're going to mail that application to our Office of Law Enforcement, and that's Kurt Stevens. But, again, you can find all of that on our website.
Visit Central Management Services, where all the available State of Illinois job postings are at. Torbert also directs interested applicants to dnr.illinois.gov. Moving on now into local ag news, lots of events coming up this weekend. Later on this afternoon, the Highland FFA chapter will be holding a plant sale that will be held at their high school greenhouse this afternoon from 1:30 until 6. The Hillsborough FFA chapter will also be holding a plant sale at their high school greenhouse that will be held today from 1:30 till 3:30. And the Litchfield FFA chapter will be holding their plant sale this afternoon. That'll be held at their high school greenhouse this afternoon from 4 till 6. They have tomatoes, peppers, cilantro, marigolds, coleus, petunias, and patience, and geraniums. Four packs, $1.50, coleus and petunia plants, $2, and hanging baskets are $10. Coming up tomorrow, Saturday, the American Farm Heritage Museum in Greenville will be holding their Spring Fling Festival. It'll be held at the museum grounds south of Greenville along Route 127 and I-70. Again, tomorrow, Saturday, from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., rain or shine. There's free general admission, a flea market and swap meet, a barbecue competition. The Hills Fort Replica will be open, along with the Armed Forces Museum. And the American Heritage Railroad will be open with train rides for $3 from 10 till 2 tomorrow. Again, the entire Spring Fling event is held tomorrow, 8 till 4, at the Society Ground south of Greenville. And that wraps up Ag News here on a Friday afternoon, but remember you can always send us your Ag News by an email at WSMI@WSMIRadio.com. So again, for your Friday afternoon, May 7th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.